And great to hear those bells ringing. We're glad you're here. We have a couple of cards for you to fill out if you remember those and get those ready for us. That would be wonderful. We'll be picking those up right in the beginning after the three gospel or three readings. And so make sure those are filled out. If you have a prayer request, we would like to make sure you fill that out as well. Make sure and put your name with the information, your contact information, in case we have any questions. Now, please stand and welcome one another. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, your divine wisdom sets in order all things in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all things hurtful and give us things that are beneficial for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them, and what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is a father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again. Naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest," although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." And again in this passage he said, "They shall not enter my rest," since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience. Again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, "Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest, but also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then we have heard a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel for this day appointed is St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished, and they said to Jesus, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and have followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father, children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children, and lands and persecutions, and in the age to come they will receive eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you. Our text today is taken from St. Mark, the 10th chapter, just a few verses before the reading of the gospel. Well, we would read, "And as Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before Jesus and asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone.'" So far the words of our text. As you and I start to look at the text that we're going to be looking at today, it was really the question of this young, rich, religious leader who was really a lawyer also, who comes to Jesus and really asks him, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" He comes to Jesus and is asking the question like, "What can I do to be a better Christian? How can I have more treasure in heaven?" And in verses 17 and 18, we find that this man, who's very religious, in fact, even a chief leader of the synagogue, falls to the ground at Jesus' feet, which was a sign of worshiping Jesus. He was a very religious man, we could say. He was one who had a relationship with the church. He had struggled, however, with his relationship with God. And he wondered, as he was in search for certainty and peace of mind, how he could be certain that he would enter into and would inherit eternal life. A lot of people are like him. How can I be certain that when I die, I will go to heaven? How can I be certain that God is hearing all of my prayers and is bringing His answer to bear in my life? They struggle with themselves on this journey of faith because their contentment and their certainty is resting in themselves. How about you? Is your religion or your faith, does it have an echoing, bouncing back question of uncertainty? Perhaps sometimes you go through the routine and rituals of worship and practicing our faith, but we look at religion, it's really about a relationship. A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see this man coming to Jesus, falling before him, this man who was a leader amongst leaders himself, a person to be honored, yet he bowed before Jesus. And amongst the religious, Jesus was not somebody whom you would bow to. But this man, kneeling to the ground at Jesus' feet, ask the question, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, I want to let you know that this man really has eye trouble. And the eye trouble I'm speaking of is not these eyes, but is of the letter I. The letter I that is about himself being the one who sees his own spiritual condition as something that he has to do, a way that he has to find his own way to heaven. And he asked Jesus, "What good teacher must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now I want you to understand that Jesus really asked this man two questions that are very important to keep together. Jesus, first of all, says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." And secondly, "What must I do to be saved?" What must I do? And why do you call me good? Is what Jesus asked this man. No one is good but God alone. So who are you saying that I am as you prostrate yourself at my feet? And Jesus asked this man in the book of Matthew, he really says to him, "What must you do to be saved? What does the law say?" You know the law. And this man says, "Well, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second command is like it. You should love the Lord, or you should love your neighbor as yourself." And what Jesus told him then next was said, "Good, do this and you will live. And go now and sell all your possessions." But Jesus asked this man, "Are you that good? Are you good? God's kind of good?" And basically the man said, "I am." He was so proud of who he was and his accomplishments. He was one who saw that all he had done was he had kept these commands. Yet Jesus, in contrast, said, "No, no one is good except God alone." Dear brothers and sisters, as you look at all your noble accomplishments and say with great sincerity and humility, "Lord, I've kept all these even in my youth, even when it was very difficult. Lord, I've been good, I've been very good." Jesus says to us, "No, not one of us is good. All of us have fallen short of His glory," Romans tells us. Your pastor has fallen short. Your elders have fallen short. Each and every one of us, from the least to the greatest, have all fallen short. None of us is God good, holy, without sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory except one, and His name is Jesus. And yet such is the cry of thousands of anxious souls who seek to be finding the way to heaven and base their actuality and certainty upon what they do. What must I do to be saved? Hard as we try, and try hard we do, it's not enough. Believe deeply enough, be faithful enough, we're not there. This is our eternal struggle for certainty and security. This is why the man came in the first place. He was anxious and wanted to know how to get right with God and to be certain that he would inherit eternal life. My friends, I would like to just basically say this to you right now. Cut to the quick. What is an inheritance? An inheritance is something that you do not own or do not possess. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's something that you don't own and it's something that you don't possess. But if you look at the inheritance is really someone else's possession. That because of a relationship that you are in with them, you receive because of their love for you. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Inheritance is a gift from God. Eternal life is a gift from God. It's something that you don't own. It's something you don't deserve. It's something that is a gift of God to you and to me because of our relationship that God formed and fashioned and sought us out and gave us in His own Son, Jesus Christ. And in giving it to us, what Jesus gives us is the promise of life everlasting. That yes, if we are to die, we can be certain of our salvation, not because of what we have done, but only because of what He has done. And in that relationship that we are in, we can be certain. If I close my eyelids in death today, I can be certain of where I will spend my eternity because of who Jesus Christ is. I am so amazed at people's faith as they come face to face with serious sicknesses and even face to face with death itself. I've heard and seen from several of you as we shared and talked about those tender moments of life. I've heard and I've seen from you eyes of faith that gave me the truthful answer that said, I know that I'm not scared to die because I know where I'm going. And I know my certainty is in Jesus. Jesus, who suffered and died to pay for your sins, said, it is finished. And then He says later, in the Gospels, as He saw earlier, He predicted, I should say, He says, I now will be going to the place to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you can't come yet. And if I go, I'll come again, so that you, I may receive you unto myself. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now, Jesus also told this rich religious ruler, He said, you are very close to the kingdom of heaven. You've come a long ways. You've risked a lot. You've been standing here and now prostrate before me. You are saying all of these things and asking all of these questions. And as a religious leader, you've come all this way. You've attempted to keep God's laws. One thing you lack, go now and sell all that you possess and give it to the poor. What Jesus was really trying to do was to teach this man that the most important of all of his possessions was his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because God had all the good stuff, all the things that this man had garnered and collected and stored up for himself in earthly wealth was simply trinkets. Tomorrow's trash. But what God has to give is eternal. And the true riches of life everlasting, where there's no more sickness, suffering, death, or misery. Jesus wanted to make sure this man knew his greatest wealth was in his relationship with Jesus. And so, as a steward of all that this man had, Jesus wanted to say, put it to good use. Give it away. Be generous. And isn't that what he tells us as he blesses us? As he has us to look at our stewarding, we talk about a tithe, we talk about a little bit about looking at tenth, that we got 10 fingers, most of us. Giving one of those fingers worth of wages and salary and all of that. And live on the rest. But also to be able to look at being able to live generously in how we love and live and give and serve. With our time, with our talents, and with our treasures. And so what Jesus was trying to get us to do was to really look at this man and to understand that he has the good stuff. And we will receive the inheritance. And the reason we'll receive the inheritance is because of our relationship with Jesus. And then for us to really understand that through that relationship, we have the greatest opportunity to live a rich life here and now. Taking all that God gives us and with generosity to live in love and to give out of that love in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ. Amen. Please stand. Please join me in the creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord and Savior Jesus, we give you thanks that you shepherd us through the questions of our life. Like this rich young leader and ruler, we too are very religious. We too are a people who seek your face. We too are a people who gloriously revel in the relationship that you have given us. We thank you for the wonderful word that you give us. We thank you for the ability and opportunity to pray and be able to come before your throne of mercy and grace any time of the day or night with any type of question. And for that, O Lord, we thank you. Like this rich young leader who wanted to have certainty, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We too prostrate ourselves before you and your throne of mercy and grace. We come to your altar today as we receive bread and wine and there realize that you are in with and under that bread and wine, the victorious resurrected Savior who assures us again of the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of life everlasting. Oh Lord, we give you thanks and we ask your blessing to be upon our congregation and upon our school and to provide all that we need to do everything that you place before us. Allow this congregation, this ministry, to seek and to reach out into this community with this wonderful good news and to celebrate your presence in our midst, in this world, in this day, and allow us to serve and to celebrate who you are, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to love you as our Lord and our Savior, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our body, and with all our strength. O Lord, for this we give you thanks. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested by your people.
Lord, we want to thank you for Hudson Walker's second birthday today. Continue to wrap your loving arms around him and let us love him and raise him in your way. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Lord, we also thank you for being with Peggy Trapp, who's hospitalized for some testing, and for also being with JC, who has also brought many blessings to our CDC center, but you have blessed her with good news as well. And for that, we give you thanks. We ask your Father in heaven that you'd also be with Audrey Gordon as we will hold her husband's memorial service for Bob this coming week on Friday. Lord, may you be with the family. May you bless them and strengthen them and allow them to celebrate and to rejoice in the promises you gave them and the blessing you gave them with Bob. Lord, in your mercy. And now, dear Father in heaven, we ask that in your Son's name you would hear us as we now pray that prayer together that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after he had supped and had given thanks, he took the cup, and he said unto his disciples, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you, for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in this, the true faith, throughout all of our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of your coming, Lord Jesus, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Morning. The announcements for today, next Friday is Oktoberfest. They're still looking for volunteers, but we do want to help or thank those volunteers that have already stepped up, and also the people that are sponsoring the event. So I believe you can volunteer online, or you can get with someone and volunteer for the event. But like I said, it's next Friday. The parish choir would like to hear your beautiful voices again on Reformation Sunday. That's October 28th. Sign-up forms are in the narthex, and rehearsal details are in your Trinity Weekly. Also, please join us in collecting stuffed animals and gift cards for the next 2 weeks for the local foster families. You can read more in the Trinity Weekly for the details from the adoption and foster care ministry team. And also, don't forget the pumpkin patch. It's open until October 31st. The proceeds go to our school ministry. And it's open Monday through Friday, 12 to 6 p.m. And weekends, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thank you.
Thanks, Kel. Thanks for serving today. I wanted to just make an announcement of saying it's great to be back, one, but two, we thank our bell choir and our choir. They just did a wonderful job today. Good to be back at that season where we were seeing and hearing much more from you. So we look forward as we go moving throughout our church here. So thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah. Yes? Oh, you're asking. I was looking up there. Your voice transcended the... It is Friday at 11. Saturday is the 26th. 27th. It is the Saturday the 27th at 11 a.m. Thank you. That's what you get for going on vacation. Forget what day of the week it is. But thank you for that clarity. It is Saturday at 11 a.m. here at Trinity. It will be a memorial service, and as I understand it, it will be a celebration of life and certainty as we look at the promises God has given. So those are the details that we now have. So thank you for the clarity.
Oh,
Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.
Thanks be to God.